Hello and welcome to the Disney Magic Hour, episode number 28. On this week's episode, we are going to go and revisit our Disney Movie Hour featurette, and this week's film is The Three Caballeros. To my left, as always, is Brian. Say hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Across from me is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
And to my right is Scott. Say hello, Scott.
Hello, Scott.
Hello, Pete. And say hello, Pogo. Was Forget by Pogo. You can find that video and more over on youtube.com/Pogo. His music at soundcloud.com/Pogo Mix, and pogomix.net is his home address. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter for this show at Diz Magic Hour Pod, and on Facebook, if you search for Disney Magic Hour, you'll find our group. You can just add yourself there. And if you could please head on over to iTunes, search for Last Gen, one word, Last G-E-N, or search for Disney Magic Hour. You'll have us pop up, and if you can give us a 5-star review and refer it to your friends, that is the best way to help out this show. And here we go into maybe the oddest film that we've hit so far. Odd as in, I'm not 100% sure if it's a film. It doesn't feel well. You know, let's go into a little. There's a wee bit of background. There's a whole lot of background on this if you really wanted to deep dive, and in particular if you want to watch Walt and El Grupo, which I remember for a fair amount of time was on Netflix. I'm not sure if it is there anymore. They're always changing things, you know, every month or so, and it was part of the TCM night, right?
Yeah.
But one of the first ones, wasn't
it? Yeah. Yeah, they showed the documentary, and then they also showed Three Caballeros, which is what we still have on our DVR.
Yeah, so we still have it on our DVR. We saved all those nights.
Yeah.
So just to give a little bit of background on this, basically in a 1941 trip to South America that was really put forward by the United States government as a goodwill tour in a way.
Yeah.
Walt Disney and his team went over to South America and visited, you know, various places. Brazil, Mexico.
Yeah,
was part of it. Basically, South America. They just went all over the place, and through that, they produced a number of different things. Saludos Amigos would really be the main one that firstly came out of it. And it was so successful that it led to Three Caballeros. And it's an interesting little piece of art. I mean, it's really cool because Mary Blair is a huge part of this. And I found out that she was only on that trip because she asked to go on.
Yeah.
She wasn't part of the initial thing. And then she actually asked Walt if she could join. And he was like, yeah, come on. Mm-hmm. And Ub Iwerks was also, this was one of the first things that he did when he returned to the company after going away. And he had a lot to do with the combination of live action and animation that we see in the film. Which, you know, it does kind of stick out, though, because you can really tell they're in front of a projector.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because the sharpness of the animation really drops off.
Yeah.
Now, at the time, this looked phenomenal, and I still think it looks fine. And the stuff where Donald and Jose in particular are painted onto cells and worked into the thing, that looks fantastic. But sometimes the screen work looks a little bit weird. This was released actually in Mexico first on December 21st, 1944, and did not come out to the States till February 3rd of 1945.
Yeah, which is funny because when you look it up on Wiki, it says 1944. And then when we were watching the movie last night, the intro by the gentleman from TCM, whose name escapes me.
I don't remember if it was Bob Osborne or the other guy.
I don't remember. When he said 1945, and I was like, wait, what? And then I realized it was because it was released first in Mexico.
Yeah, which is really, really cool. It comes in at a very, very short 71 minutes long. It actually enjoyed 5 theatrical re-releases in 58, 66, 73, 77, 81. One of those, it was a much cut down featurette, and I want to say that was 77. This was directed by Norm Ferguson, who previously directed Dumbo. He also directed the Dance of Hours segment in Fantasia, and he was also the director on Pinocchio. So they definitely put one of their big guys on this. But let's talk about the actual film itself.
I don't, like you said, I don't know if you can really call it a film. A piece of art is a good way that you put it.
Yeah, this is an interesting mix of things. Scott, what was your first impressions like going into, how familiar were you with this actually before watching it recently?
Honestly, besides the ride in Mexico, in Disney and Epcot.
Yeah.
That's really all I remembered from the movie.
That was a limit on it, right?
Yeah, that was about it.
I remember a couple of sequences only because we had watched it just off of the TCM showing.
Yeah.
But even then, I know I drifted. I definitely drifted because when we watched it this time, I didn't remember much. Melissa, do you remember a lot from this?
Oh, well, again, I was exposed to this when I was little. So I remember, you know, I love the main Three Caballeros song, the whole sequence with Pechito when we get into it. Like, I remember all that. I remember the cactuses and stuff, and I do remember liking it. So,
and Brian,
yeah, there was not much that was familiar to me when I watched it. The Three Caballeros, when they sing, when they do that, when they all come together, is the only thing that really stood out. And I remember them doing the. Now it's one of those. Do I remember it because I saw the ride in Epcot, or do I remember it because of
the actual
movie?
Film.
Was when they're riding on the carpet?
Yeah,
on the you know. The
okay, thing. Go ahead, but, say it, Melissa. I know you want to.
I can't really.
I don't want to embarrass myself. You've been saying, oh, get over it. It's a little lisp. You're going to get rid of that thing soon anyway. Stop. Say it.
The Serape.
That's fine. Didn't say anything weird. It's when you tried to read the review with 57 S's in the last week.
That was my fault.
I know. Just the guy went for alliteration in that one.
Yeah. I did have how it was received. We can go into that afterwards.
Yeah, go right ahead. No, go into it now.
You want to go into it now?
Yeah, why not?
Well, a lot of people did have a similar feel to this one as they did with Fantasia. Like we said, it's an artwork. So they definitely, one of the quotes was, they called it a technological razzle-dazzle. I thought that was fun.
Hmm.
But
it's
they,
so 40s, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Reminded me of Chicago.
Yeah.
And they also said another quote was that it displays more flash than substance, more technique than artistry. So I thought that was interesting.
You know what? I got to agree with the first part. Yeah. There is no substance.
I feel like
this is all flash.
Yeah, I feel like it's very similar to Fantasia, where they were having a lot of those.
But Fantasia, I feel that Fantasia, the stories themselves can go for deeper meanings.
Yeah,
yeah.
And these don't, except for maybe one of them, but it only lasts for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, when we get to it,
Las Posadas.
I love that.
Yes,
story.
That one, and also there's a little stuff show with the flying Gauchito.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was at least, you know what this reminded me of? An extended cartoon on TV.
Yeah.
That's what this was.
Which I think might have been where I saw a couple of these, like the first couple of sequences, the flying gatito, the cold-blooded penguin. I feel like they played just those pieces on Disney Channel. Well, I remember them a lot.
I have, what I had dug up was this film premiered on TV as the Three Caballeros, and it was the 9th episode of the first season of ABC's Disneyland series. They edited it and shortened it down and retitled it A Present for Donald. And it came out December 22nd, 1954.
Yeah.
And instead of him opening presents for his birthday, it was for Christmas.
So that was the first time it showed on TV.
That's what I had found. Yeah, that was the first time it was shown.
I think
on
that's the only reason that it feels like a movie is the link that Donald, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If it wasn't for that, it would,
other than that, no, it's just a
movie. No, they do tie all the sequences together smartly. It
they
works.
Do.
Yeah.
The idea of, well, I mean, let's go. Yeah. So we start up, and it's Donald's birthday, which is Friday the 13th, which I thought was really good. He receives basically a large box of gifts from his friends in Latin America.
Yep.
Yeah, Latin America. And upon opening the box, there's smaller things inside. The first one is an old school projector. You get a little bit of, you know, classic kind of Donald
slapsticky
humor with that. And the reel of film that he opens up is Aves Raras. Raras? Oh, this is going to be embarrassing as hell. Aves Raras. Why not? Which means strange birds.
Yes.
And we're introduced to Pablo the Penguin. And this is called the Cold-Blooded Penguin?
Penguin, yes.
This is such a strange way to open a film titled Three Caballeros.
Yeah, it was a documentary on birds, basically.
Yeah, it was like a, you know, a slapsticky documentary on birds with... okay, well, number one thing that I noticed was such the huge visual difference with the background art and everything that we've seen in their feature films like Fantasia, like Pinocchio,
yeah,
stuff like that. This is Saturday morning cartoon.
Exactly.
This is definitely, as soon as I started it, that's what I thought.
This is Disney level Saturday morning cartoon.
Sure.
But it's still Saturday morning cartoon looking.
Yeah.
And, you know, we get Sterling Holloway, of course, as the VO. And I, you know what? I meant to look it up. It reminded me of when he did the VO for Peter and the Wolf.
Okay.
But I forgot to look up the year in which that took place. I'm assuming that happened later.
Well, Peter and the Wolf was in the Make Music Mine, which is after.
Make Mine Music, which is next, isn't that?
Yeah.
That was the next release.
I always...
Okay, so this... Yeah, that's okay. So this predates that, so it's almost like a lead-up to that, because that, I feel, is maybe his most popular voiceover.
I love that story.
I would say. We actually have that on vinyl. Do you know that?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I have that on vinyl.
I love that.
I found it in the record store for like $10. I was like, yeah, whatever.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, why not? So that was one of the first things that struck me was the difference in visuals. And, you know, this is just a stupid thing, but as a Disney fan, I guess you might pick up on this. They do say Pablo lives at the end of Main Street.
Yeah.
Which I can't help but think of. Main Street. You know, yeah. I think of it immediately. I thought that the two other penguins who kind of tried to help him and kept waving him off, they had a very Abbott and Costello build to them. One was short and fat, the other one was tall and thin.
Yeah.
But they all looked like they were on the verge of falling asleep.
Yeah.
Is this maybe kind of a little, you know,
a product of its time?
Yeah, maybe a product of its time, because we're talking about, you know, a Latin America thing, and then the first characters we're introduced to, they're very kind of lazy looking.
Yeah, they...
I don't know.
They have a sleepy quality to them.
But then all the other characters in the film are nothing like that. So that's what makes me think, no, they just chose it for this particular thing. But it's such an odd thing to start with.
When you see a movie called The Three Caballeros, you don't think you're going to be finding out about penguins.
Yeah, and I mean, like, they eventually get themselves to somewhere warm.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, which is ultimately where this goes. But... Melissa, what was your feelings on this, the cold-blooded penguin?
I thought it was interesting how we had gone also from Bambi, where the animals were very realistic and when they were drawn with precision, to these, you know, very caricaturish. Gosh,
it's okay. Cartoonish. I know what you're saying.
Like a caricature, though, like, because you were saying, like, the
Abbott and Costello. They have a lot of human qualities.
Yeah. And then also, you know, just having, like, the things that are not natural, like when he's hot, he turns red and things like that.
The ice that really kind of lasts for way too long.
Yeah.
Because he's pretty much sailing in the sun for 90% of it, but it's not till the end where it starts melting.
Immediately.
Yeah, immediately.
All of it melts immediately.
So, a very slapsticky thing. Scott, did you dig this short?
I did, actually.
Yeah, you liked it?
I actually liked the shorts more than I liked the later on in the movie.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, because like you said before, it's very Saturday morning cartoonish, but I find that hysterical.
Okay, no, that's great.
And you know, the fact that when he's when he's in the bathtub at the end after all the ice melts and the water starts coming through and he sticks the part and it turns into like a jet boat.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, that's funny.
I thought it was a neat little thing also at the end. They had a sign on the tub that we stopped. It says De Venta, which means for sale.
Yeah.
So he was selling the bathtub.
On an island.
Because he doesn't need it anymore.
Yeah, that's it. It's done. Brian, did you enjoy this with, you know, with the Robinson Crusoe reference? And
yeah, overall I did. But like I said, it struck a very television cartoon vibe to me. I was, after coming off of Bambi and all that other stuff, like, it was just kind of like a loop. Like, it felt like they were almost going backwards at the very beginning with what they were presenting. So, yeah, it was a little off-putting to me. But, I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was. But to me, it was a little short you know, that I enjoyed the short. But it was not what I was expecting to see.
Yeah.
I feel like that was something that you see now when they come out with movies. You know, how they have the Pixar shorts before the actual movie.
Yeah.
I felt like the first two sequences were more that.
Yeah. It would have made you cry, though, if it was a Pixar movie.
Well, yeah.
Well, yes, of course, yeah.
Pablo would have died.
I kind of cried a little bit when Pablo was like, oh, I miss my home. It's like, really?
Really?
You're on an island all by yourself and you're looking back at the ice like,
oh. I loved all the corny jokes, though, like, you know, with the fog rolling in, it was like a blanket.
I thought that was a really cool little visual gag.
And
he literally cuts through it.
Yeah. I like the equator being an actual line that then Neptune has to
see again. That's so cart. That's no, so, yeah, like, it,
it's
exactly.
not, it doesn't fit the feature
film. It doesn't fit yeah. there, what they were show, have been showing before that. It just, it was, I still can't wrap my head around it that this was considered a feature film, like, you know?
No.
Yeah. So, okay, so we get our, you know, we get that opening. It's an interesting opening, and I don't know, you may dig it, you may not. I really don't know. I'm very curious to hear other people's opinions
yeah.
on this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we put this on an honorable mention, I want to say, for Top 5 Unappreciated, right? Or was this actually on someone's list?
I think
list?
It was on somebody's. It might have been on.
God, may have been me.
It might have been on someone's list.
I don't
list.
Remember.
Maybe Ed, I think, one of our listeners.
Oh, yeah, he definitely
yeah,
had it
pretty
on his
positive
list.
It was him.
Yeah, I'm sure
did,
he had
no,
it.
No, I think he
list.
Had Saludos Amigos on.
Oh,
but
maybe
not.
Oh, yeah, that's always,
yeah.
So we kind of go back and we get introduced to just one of the strangest characters. And that's the Arakan.
Yeah.
Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe
and
so,
that's
yeah.
that crazy bird who just shows up to make that singing noise.
Yep.
Break the fourth wall.
Yep.
Yeah.
By, like, pulling the film and all that kind of stuff. And that's it. Like, he does that, like, what, 4 or 5 times through the film?
Yeah, later
it
on.
It never amounts to anything else. Just, yeah. like, this sight gag that pops up and it's kind of like, oh, yeah, he's still around. But a very distinctive sound.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, a very weird thing. So weird. But we get this birds sequence also during this time, and this kind of made me feel very Tiki Room-ish.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, when we were showing all the different birds and whatnot, it made me feel very, very Tiki Bird-ish.
Yeah.
But we kind of go quickly out of that in some ways.
Yeah, because it's just like, okay, here's the different types of birds, and then here's the really annoying bird that'll come back up, you know.
Yeah.
And that bird, actually, he does show up in other, like, he comes back in Melody Time, and I think he's been, like, on the Donald cartoons, because I remember that bird in particular.
Yeah, he's making the same noise and
he's
stuff.
He's just there to annoy Donald, because what's better than, like, his annoyance and then Donald getting frustrated? You know, it's the juxtaposition that's
We
fun.
Gotta talk about Donald in this film later.
Yeah,
oh,
we
yeah,
do.
We have some things.
This is an interesting display of Donald in this film.
I love that scene, though, with the birds that we were just talking about, with the flamingos.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They have, like, they kind of, like, put them on the screen in bunches, and then they do like that little dance type thing.
Yeah, where they lift the legs up and
yeah,
stuff. Yeah,
and they cut to Donald, and he's doing the same thing, and he just like hysterically laughs.
And then do we go right into we get the narrator, you know, of the Flying Gauchito, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird transition.
It's a weird transition.
There is no
too.
Transition.
Well, because what it is he's introducing you to
he's introducing the birds.
The bird.
And then it goes from this special bird.
Yeah, the Orno. Because it's shaped like the oven. And then you get a look at the oven, and then you see the little boy, and then you go into the little boy's story.
So, do you want to talk about the little boy's story?
Yeah, he's...
Why not?
Yeah. The narrator, I felt like the narrator with this one, as he's telling the story about himself as a little boy, it reminded me of very Dr. Seuss. You know, it rhymed a lot, and it was very, like, yeah, I felt like Dr. Seuss. With this one.
No, that's okay. I can see that. It's a little more normal than Dr. Seuss, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah, just with the rhyme scheme I was really referring to.
Okay.
I wish I had some of the lines down, but I didn't. But basically, it's about the little boy who finds a flying donkey. As
named?
Burrito. That's the Spanish name. No, that's the Spanish name for the donkey.
I know, it's just funny to hear it. Like, because you're a very American brain says, food.
Well, that's what I was just thinking. I was like, oh, I didn't know that. Now when I order a burrito, I'm going to be...
Well, because a burro is a...
Yeah,
burro is yeah.
So
yeah.
When you add an I-T-O to the end of a word, it means little. Like, Gauchito is a little boy.
Oh,
so
okay.
A burrito is a little donkey.
So eating a baby donkey.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Right. Eating a baby donkey.
Yeah.
No, I want
I'm all right
go.
With that now, actually.
I'm
just going to order a baby donkey when I go to Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want? 3 baby donkeys. Bring them. So we get this, you know, he basically discovers a flying donkey, which Shrek would later bastardize.
Oh, yeah. You know what they look like now that you just said that?
Look like every other donkey that we've seen
so
far.
No, it really looks like
Pinocchio.
The baby donkey in Shrek when he has the babies with the... With the dragon.
Still trying to figure that out.
That face looks exactly...
Oh, okay.
Well,
right.
It's basically burritos. They have burritos is what they have because they have flying donkeys.
I'm still trying to figure out how that worked.
I don't know. Fire sauce.
Yeah, a donkey and a dragon. Anyways.
That's it.
Yeah, it's weird. So what does he do? He captured this thing, makes it his friend, and races him.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Sure. It's a solid plan.
I just looked at my notes. This is what it reminds me of also. Not Dr. Seuss per se, but Casey at the Bat.
Okay.
That's what it was.
All right. I think that works better.
Yeah.
Dr. Seuss's things have a certain weirdness to them.
Yeah.
I don't feel this had that.
No. It was just the rhyming, but Casey at the Bat's better.
Okay. Yeah. No. It's more in the tone.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's more in the tone of that. So, so he races him.
Yeah.
And that was fun. I really liked the whole gag sequence of when the race starts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, the camera keeps, like, you think that they're going fast, the camera backs out and they're going slow. And then they do it again and they're still just going really, really slow.
And then he says, like a jockey, sit like a jockey. And he leans forward on the thing and they're just,
yeah, and they're like still said, just they're like still going prancing.
Really slow. Yeah.
So I thought this was a lot of fun. I enjoyed this short a lot, but at least this also felt more in the spirit of the film. Granted, I know that, you know, Pablo gets to where our film, you know, is, you know, connected bloodline wise,
mm-hmm.
but like the majority of it was in the ice.
Yeah.
So this though felt like, okay, this is more in the telling of it, even though, you know, we are a little bit into this film that's called The Three Caballeros, and I have not seen two Caballeros yet, which maybe is the thing that's the weirdest.
Yeah.
This, you know what? You said, what was that name that they said it was called when it was on TV? Donald's Birthday Gift?
Yeah.
Why does that seem? That seems like it makes more sense.
Yeah,
but you're not.
But that
track.
Also is not a feature film title at all. No. That is, you know, that is a short title. So I don't know. Does anyone have anything? Do you want to talk about this, you know, the Gauchito commercial cartoon at all?
This is the first time that I can remember that, and I love it about it, where the narrator interacts with the character.
Yeah.
That I love.
Narrated by Frank Graham.
Mm.
Not the name I expected when I looked that up.
No.
So
yeah, but this is probably my favorite part of the film, the short.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was cute. It definitely was. But again, to me, it struck the very much like this, like a regular cartoon short.
Yeah.
So this right now, this film's not working for you, Brian.
Right now, it does not. I'm like, this looks like
at this
cartoons
point,
I watch on TV. I used to watch on TV. That's what it looked like.
Melissa, at this point, is the film working for you?
I mean, I'm enjoying it for sure.
Okay.
I don't have any like.
So yes.
Yeah.
Okay, you're enjoying it. So yes. Scott, same question.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, no, you're into it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now. Okay. All right, so now we, you know, we kind of go back to Donald and whatnot, and his next thing is it's a book with the title Brazil on it. And who pops out of it but Jose Carioca. Carioca?
Who is also from Saludos Amigos. That's where he premiered.
Yes. I pointed something out that unless Jose is spinning around, you never see both of his eyes at once. His beak covers it.
Mm-hmm.
Look, this is the stupidest thing to recognize, but I don't know why I noticed it. Because every other character, you can usually see both their eyes. And even when their eyes are on the side in real animal form, they change that.
Yeah.
You know, like they did that with Bambi, actually. That was one of the changes they made for Bambi. But they actually keep with the eyes on the side of the head. So for the most part, you never see more than one of Jose's eyes. Because his beak is always the major of the rest of his face.
Yeah.
It's a dumb thing, but it's something I picked up on. And now we go into what I feel is, I think the highlight, and this is my favorite part of the film, is the Brazil, I guess you could call it the Brazil portion.
Bahia.
Yeah, when we first go into the Bahia musical, sung by Jose. I thought this was really, really beautifully done.
Yeah.
This seemed to have a little more of that artistry that I felt mm-hmm. was lacking in the beginning.
Yeah.
There was a little more different uses of color and background design and whatnot. This felt a little more, I don't know, like a higher production value, even though I know it's all blah, 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 blah. I really enjoyed this part in particular. Melissa, did you? I think this was. I think I know that you like this, but what was your feelings on the Bahia part of this film.
Yeah, no, I liked it. I liked how the music set the tone. You know, it was very, like, tropical and sensual. And I know that's, like, very, you know, a big theme in the country. So I know, like, and then they really drew you in with using a lot of purples and pinks and reds. So it was very, like, seductive almost. I really, yeah, I liked it. And then, like you said, the production value was higher. So, like, even though it was just like a sky, it had like depth to it and the clouds looked almost real, you know, and it was, you know, richer.
Yeah. So, Scott, same towards you. Now, you're really into this so far.
Yeah.
And it definitely brings the gears down as far as tempo and, you know, jokes and whatnot for this Bahia portion. Did this take you out of it a little bit or were you still on board?
No, I was still on board. I mean, some of the things, like you said, you noticed about that he only had one eye. One thing I noticed, he had a cigar.
Yeah.
That was just like, all right.
Yeah, something that would never happen now. It would never happen now. That's a good point.
And actually, the Arukan, whatever that is, bird, he steals the cigar. I don't remember if it was at the beginning of the section or at the end, but he kind of steals the cigar. I believe it's at the beginning. Oh. That's when he makes another appearance, kind of walks across the street, takes a cigar out of his mouth, and Jose's then, like, where'd it go?
And he, like, that's when he, like, moves the film and you see the edge of the film.
Yeah.
I felt like the beginning of that scene, too, when he first meets Jose, he felt very Jiminy Cricket-y, like, to me.
Because of the little umbrella?
The little umbrella and just the fact that he was kind of like...
Yeah, he's kind of, like, trying to, you know, always trying to calm Donald down.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. So, yeah, it kind of is. You know, something that happens throughout this movie... you know, and it definitely, you know, comes in towards the end. I do feel like these three characters are actually friends.
Yeah,
you do get that feeling.
Like,
yeah.
That works. Mm-hmm. And there's something adorable that Donald actually has friends that don't just tolerate him, but they genuinely seem to, like, enjoy having him around.
Yeah.
Because it kind of seems like a lot of times, you know, with the Fab Four cartoons, he's just driving everyone nuts.
Yeah.
But in this one, I don't know, there seems to be... like a real, like, I don't know, like a sillier friendship, but a friendship.
Yeah.
This is like Donald's thing, you know? Yeah. Not everyone has it. Like, Goofy doesn't have this.
Yeah.
No.
You know, Pluto doesn't have this. He's got to be with others. Well, Goofy on his own, you know, Pluto's usually with somebody else, you know, usually Mickey and stuff like that. So I thought that was interesting. Like, they did that very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
From the Bahia sequence, brings it into my favorite sequence, which is the Yaya song.
Yeah.
Which is sung by Aurora Miranda, who is the sister of Carmen Miranda.
Tragos quindins e yaya. Quem quer meus quindins comprar?
Muito obrigado.
Trago os quindins de iaiá.
Who was obviously very, very famous at that time. So this is kind of, I would say, the lesser-known sister. But here she is, you know, up on the big screen getting really just a huge part in a Disney film. And this is where we see a lot of the animation mixed with the... live action, and the use of a drop back screen where the animation is on, and then they even would use mirror images of animation to have them interact with the actors when they were just drawn on cells. It's really, really cool, very into it, high energy. Like, they go from the low gear of Bahia, they jump it up into like high gear with Yaya, and man, Donald is just
smitten
over every woman who crosses his screen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to the point where you were like, wow, they really are going for this.
Yeah.
You know? And it doesn't stop. It gets worse, actually, later.
Yeah.
He's ready to fight somebody in this one because she's singing to another guy.
Yeah.
He gets, like, green with envy with the devil horns.
Yep.
It's a really wacky thing, but this was my favorite sequence is this entire part.
Yeah, no, I really like this. I did notice, like you said, when they were interacting, the animation, the live action, one of the interesting parts is that while that was going on, the cartoon, so like when Donald or Jose were around, they didn't have shadows, I noticed.
No, they don't.
So it looked very 2D. It didn't look as integrated as, you know, some of the cartoons that they mixed later on. But I thought overall it was great. I liked how, like, the one scene where they're all dancing, you have the actors and they're, like, in the page of the book.
Yeah.
I really liked that part.
Yeah, they have a lot of really great shots, very technically difficult shots that I thought brought this film up to another level for me, to what I had seen so far.
Yeah. This is when I really... This is when the movie picked up for me. This is when I got into... I said, okay, this is something different. This is, you know, not a Saturday morning cartoon. I'm really digging this. I dug this scene a lot. This was probably my favorite. And besides one other scene that comes a little later, which was more for, I guess, like a comedic value, I liked better. But this is good.
I also thought the ending was really interesting where we'll just call her... The cookie seller for now, I guess.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we can call her Yaya.
That's her name.
She gets, like, left.
Yeah.
It's a little weird, wasn't it? Where, like, they just, like, abandoned her for other girls who came by.
They didn't want her cookies no more.
Yeah, they didn't want them. They just up and left her. And that was when Donald gives her a bouquet and she kisses him. Mm-hmm. Which later Donald gets kissed. And this movie goes into the strangest thing it might be the oddest thing I've seen so far in these films. And, you know, we already had the pink elephant sequence. So upon, you know, they go back to Donald's house and they got to blow themselves back up to normal size because we didn't say it before, but they had to shrink themselves down with that little magical hammer, I guess.
Yeah.
Which also Jose gives to Donald in order to strike another person.
Yeah, yes. I thought
he like wanted to hit him, like, oh, you'll make him small with this and then whatever. No, he just wanted him to violently smash him in the head.
He wanted physical harm done.
Yeah. He stops Donald. He's like, no, Donald, wait. And then he gives him a giant hammer. I was like, all right, I don't know if that's really the way to calm this situation down, sir. But whatever, you're a parrot, so the hell you know. So now they got to blow themselves back up to normal, and we get a pretty, maybe a little too long, visual gag of Donald blowing himself back up.
Yeah.
This is fun, but I felt like it went on for a little while.
They used black magic, which I thought was interesting.
Wait, what was that? Say that again?
Jose says he's going to use a little bit of black magic to blow himself back up.
That'll work.
So I thought that was interesting. I don't know if you'd get that phrasing nowadays.
I don't know.
Or
Magique?
They used voodoo not that long ago.
Yeah, they just did a whole film with was voodoo. You remember the one no one saw that we talked about? So now we are going to get introduced to Panchito Pistole, who basically this is now entering our Mexico section of the film.
Yep.
This I didn't realize before, that it kind of had sections.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, this I didn't know that at all, you know, going into this film. So Panchito comes in, and he was new. He was not in Saludos Amigos, right?
No.
So this is the first time, really, that anyone could see him. And he's even more active than Donald.
Yeah.
Which is saying something. And we get our three caballeros.
Yes.
I love this sequence. This is my favorite.
Yeah.
I thought it was nice because they actually introduced the musical cues to Caballeros before he arrives.
Yeah.
And then we get, you know, Panchito arriving, and then we go into the three Caballeros songs. These guys are instantly friends.
We're three caballeros, three gay caballeros. They say we are birds of a feather. We're happy amigos, no matter where he goes. They're one, two, and three goes. We're always together.
A phenomenal sequence. I mean, a sequence that has stood up and obviously now is, you know, it really the main part of an entire attraction in the Mexico Pavilion. And I don't know, guys.
I don't know. I love this. I love the song. I love the lyrics. For me, this is where many of the iconic images of this movie come from, you know?
Yeah.
From just the hats and the, you know, even when they do the We're Closer Than Books on a Shelf and they like squeeze up.
Yeah,
I like
that. Yeah, that is nice.
Became volume one. If I remember correctly, like volume one shows up on Donald's person.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
As they squeeze him together because he's the actual book of that. Scott, did this continue? Like now, Do you really like this film, I'm guessing?
I actually did, yeah.
Unless it crashes into the ground in the next couple of sequences.
No, it's just, okay. It's just, I didn't really go into it thinking that the whole film was going to be like, you know,
little
the Mexico.
What,
yeah, exactly. Okay. So, as a whole, seeing it, you know, for the first time in a long time, I really did. I enjoyed it a lot, but Panchito is my favorite.
Yeah?
Yeah, he reminds me of like a, he reminds me of like the Tasmanian Devil and, what's the other sheriff guy from Looney Tunes?
Oh, Yosemite Sam?
Yes.
Okay.
Where he's just kind of like, bah, 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 bah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Going, yeah.
Yeah, he's, yeah. And like you said, he's got up tempo and he's just, yeah. You know.
He looks like he's the rowdy one of that group.
Exactly, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
He's the troublemaker.
So, they had a lot of cool animation in that sequence, too. Like, when he's introduced and he shows the pistol, and the pistol says, like, the three words in the song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a lot of cool little animation.
And then it's fun when he's holding that long note at the end.
Yeah, they can't make him stop singing. I love that. That
you really
thing.
Like the part where they cut the circle around him and the whole floor, except for him, goes away. I remember you had a big reaction to that. So, yeah, so we have our Caballero song, and then we get something I did not remember at all. Panchito gives Donald a piñata.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we go into this almost storyboard type presentation of Las Posadas. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah. I believe so, yeah.
And this is basically the way Mexico is celebrated in Christmas.
So,
I'm sorry?
Christmas is celebrated in Mexico?
Yeah, it's a Mexican celebration. Yeah.
No,
That's what they said.
Flip the words.
Christmas is celebrated in Mexico.
You said Mexico and Christmas.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
I love the artwork here. Is this Mary Blair? It has a very...
It feels like
it. Yeah, it has a very Mary Blair
style. If it's not directly straight from her, and they were like, you know what? We're not going to fully animate it. We're just going to use your storyboards and almost produce it as a children's picture book.
Yes. Mm.
You know, I guess that was really kind of the feel for it. Like, this could have been a little golden book.
Yeah.
If you just want to take those take each of those images and throw some words up to them, this would be it.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
So I want to go into the story, though. So a bunch of kids go through the town and ask for shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And do people know they're doing this? And there's one chosen house that is going to say yes, but the kids don't know that?
I don't know if the kids know it or not. I'm not sure exactly with all that. But yeah, they do it for like the 9 days going up to Christmas because they're mirroring Joseph and Mary's travels through Bethlehem trying to find shelter.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it is like a known thing. Like you turn them away. Maybe they do like one house a night or something because they do go for nine.
Okay. So yeah, because it's like a really technical question. Like, okay, so this is a town. There's whatever. There's 40 houses in it. All those town folk agree, like, hey, this is going to be the house where we're going to let these kids in. Or we have, like, some alternates. Everyone else, when they come, say no, because it's not your night to do this. Right?
I guess, or...
Because if that's not it...
It's just, if it's on the ninth night...
Yeah,
whatever house they go to, you let them in.
It might be something like that,
I guess. I don't know.
But they go to, like, numerous houses. They're like, you know...
Yeah,
So it was like, wait, was this just a lot of really rude people who were like, no, get out? Or were they all in on it, and it's just a matter of the kids finding the house where, okay, you know, whatever...
Yeah.
You guys, you know, on the corner of blah blah blah, you're gonna take them in tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when they come and knock, and you know, you'll be it. But everyone else will say no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's probably okay. They had.
I really broke this down like way too much.
You deep dive that.
I was really curious. I was like, wow, is this just like a bunch of kids, and there's just people like, no, get away. It's like not here. It's like, wow, all right, that's Christmas spirit you got there, kids. What do you got there, Melissa? I saw you were kind of trying to look for something.
Yeah, no, I mean, Wiki pretty much says it, too. I mean, they go into a little bit more depth with, like, individuals actually playing Mary and Joseph with the donkey. But, yeah, it almost kind of seems like how we do Christmas carols, like how they go from house to house. They would, you know, go house to house and sing songs and then ask for shelter, and then they would get turned away. And, yeah, on the night...
and that's... Right there.
Because thank you for the free music.
I love the idea. Like this knock comes at the door, you open it, and these kids are there, and they like sing a whole song, and you just watch, like, sipping a cocoa or whatever. And it's like, can we come in? Like, no. And just close the door and leave.
Yeah, you just do a maniacal laugh.
No.
Yeah, and then on the ninth night is when they're let in, and then the celebrations happen. And then you guys break the piñata.
And that's, then we get the piñata introduced, which... Donald then, of course, has to, you know, attack and this and that. And what comes out? A flying... Donald. Say it. Serape.
Oh, Serape. Yeah, a bunch of stuff comes out. That's why I was confused.
But in particular, that comes out, and that brings us to like that, the portion that I remembered the most from the attraction.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, them flying around from location to location basically a flying carpet, and you get an aerial tour of Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought this was really, really cool. I like this part too.
Yeah, I was a fan of this part. This was the part I was talking about before that I really enjoyed also with them flying, you know, through this on the highway, and then when they get to the beach, Donald goes into overdrive.
he really, really does. Yeah. Oh, you know what? There is a song before that, isn't it? Like Mexico, don't they have a little musical piece by Carlos Ramirez?
Yeah, they have a little thing because the book comes out of the piñata, and then they go into like the little.
They have that, and then the Serape comes into the story.
Yeah, and then Panchito says, I'm going to take you on a tour.
Yeah, and they go to Veracruz, where they watch...
Well, that was the second one.
What was the first one? The fisherman thing?
Yeah, Pátzcuaro.
Pátzcuaro?
Yeah, I don't know how to say that.
It's going to be embarrassing.
My aunt's going to hate me.
Oh, yeah? Why?
Because she'd be yelling at my Spanish pronunciation.
Oh, yeah? You're not Spanish.
No, but she taught me.
Oh, well, not very well.
Sorry, Didi.
So. so we have that. It's like the fisherman's paradise is what I saw it was referred to as. Then we go to Veracruz and we see the dancers, the Lilongo.
Yeah.
I like that song. That was nice. I really liked that part also. This was really like just a really great commercial to go visit South America.
Yeah.
And then they go to Latin America. And then they go to Acapulco. And Donald really loses his mind.
But in Acapulco.
Loses his damn mind. Like, chasing down women.
Yeah. In bathing suits. So scandalous.
And it's kind of scary. They, like, dive bomb everybody with the carpet.
The noises. Yep. The airplane.
The people were scared. They were running scared.
People were running scared. There wasn't joyous running. No. That was scared running.
Yeah. And the Serape had, like, that World War II diver bomb.
Yeah, it was like
sound.
The Snoopy sound. Like, yeah. There was
a weird portion of this whole sequence where they were clearly on a set and then they were clearly on a beach.
Yeah.
And you could tell because the lighting in the one scene is like even and you look behind them and there's like a gray wall.
Yeah.
And they do put a gray wall sort of on the beach sequence, but it's maybe 3 feet high or something like that.
Yeah, it doesn't look the same.
And the lighting is the sun, you know, so it really, really looks insanely different. But again, I enjoyed all of this stuff. I thought it was fun. Now, Bri, you didn't like the beginning. Now we're a fair way into this film. We're almost done, actually. There's just a couple of more sequences. And now, are you back into it now? Once they started kind of focusing on the theme of... You know, South America?
And like the actual three caballeros, yeah. Let me just... I did not dislike the beginning part. It's just... It didn't draw me in. It felt like... It just felt like I was watching cartoons, like a regular old cartoon. So it did... I enjoyed them. But once they introduced Jose and then Panchito is when it really picked up for me. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the carpet ride through Mexico and through the different things and... The dive bombing of the beach with the that was my favorite part. I just it made me laugh and so now I'm into it. I'm into it.
Okay. After this, we're going to go to Mexico City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is still basically Panchito showing everyone around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He even more than Jose is like the tour guide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
His sequence of let's go over here is much more extensive than Jose's part. And we get basically the You Belong to Me sequence, which features Dora Luz.
You belong to my heart.
She's beautiful.
And forever. In our long headed
star.
Not long ago.
Who, if you're unaware, the cut sequence from Fantasia, which you can find on Fantasia 2000, Destino, which was the mix of Dolly and Disney. She's the singer of that song.
I love that song.
Yeah, and she has a very, very recognizable voice. And she is the one and the face for You Belong to Me. Her face is in a lot of flowers.
Yeah. And Donald's eyes.
And Donald's eyes. And this is really just kind of like a fantasy romance piece.
Yeah. The name of this segment is Donald's Surreal Reverie.
Is that part of it, or is that only start when he gets kissed and he goes into that insane sequence?
I don't know. I'm going to say it starts about here because it starts with her, at least, because she also kicks off the kiss and the whole...
I think once that kiss...
Then it goes crazy land.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have this pretty, you know, very nice, I thought. I really liked it. Yeah. Also, just because I like her voice.
Yeah.
Very nice sequence, and then... Just things go nuts. He attempts to he then starts dancing with Carmen Molina,
yes,
who was another, you know, famous Mexican actress or entertainer, I should say. And they go into a couple of dances, the Zandunga and the Jesuita. I don't know, maybe I'm saying that right. Sounds right.
She's just very southwestern Mexican cowgirlish. Yeah. I noted. You know, she had the skirt with the spurs and the hat, but it was very, like, it was more, like, Mexican than cowgirl, but it was that blend.
Yeah, I like this. I like the sequence also.
Oh, yeah, I like
this. Scott, how are you with this whole, going back basically to the beginning of when we meet the girl in the flower, Dora Luz, what did you think of this whole Mexico City portion?
I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was, the music, like you guys have been saying, was great, and it was just, like, it was kind of like... You went back down. It was kind of like a more of a subtle.
Oh yeah, relaxing. Definitely. It slows down.
Yeah,
this
it was
is
a
the
nice
plane
little break
coming in for a landing.
Yeah, I mean, after all the debauchery that was going on the beaches.
Yeah, really.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It was kind of good to have like a little bit of a lull.
Yeah, yeah. They needed to
see,
calm
it was
that
a
down.
Lull, but then he goes into that like psychotic state.
Yeah,
where. Does. Just things go nuts. I mean, the animation turns into almost what's the word I'm looking for?
It's abstract.
Kind of like an acid trip.
Abstract. Thank you. Yeah. Abstract was what I was specifically thinking of.
And that sequence is like Fantasia for me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they had the mirror effect of him. You know, when he was like kind of like molding into himself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They actually do use that earlier when they first introduced the musical portion of Three Caballeros.
Yeah.
It's basically the meet the soundtrack in Fantasia, just, you know, with different music and a different visual tone and whatnot.
And then Donald gets caught in there, which I liked.
Yeah. 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 He actually becomes like part of the soundtrack in a way.
Yeah.
So, Brian, Brian and Melissa, how did you guys enjoy this whole basically double musical to end the number?
I loved it. It was so bizarre that I liked it. It really was wacky. I did not remember this, and I'm glad I did not remember this because I just was like, "What just happened?"
Yeah,
I was like, "What just happened?" It, kind of like I was at the beginning in the opposite way. I was like, "What's going on? Why are we talking about a penguin?" I was like, "Okay, guess this is where it's going. This is where it's ending."
Yeah, no, I liked it. I thought it was great. I loved the dance with Carmen Molina. I thought she was fantastic.
Yeah, I liked that a lot, too.
I liked the interaction. I liked even with the cacti when she was, you know, dancing with them and making them grow and stuff. And the little Donald cacti come out. I did read a little
thing about this. Weird.
I don't understand it, really.
I don't get it either. Unless the cactus were drawn in such a way...
Which I did not get.
I didn't pick up on
that. But people apparently thought it was suggestive, this whole, you know, woman in a line of cacti and Donald running around.
Because I guess the cacti, if you really wanted it to, could represent the male member?
I guess.
Whatever.
That's
people
a stretch.
Reading too much into stuff.
I mean, I mean, there was a bunch of pricks on those, but come on. Nothing? So, all right. So we go from... You belong to my heart, Laura Dels, and then we get the dance sequence with Carmen Molina, and then we go basically Joe Panchito beat up Donald in a way, like they gotta get him out of this.
Yeah.
And what's their way to calm him down? Put him on a bull. Yeah. You know, there's that little, you know, bullfighting sequence, and the bull is this time he's stuffed with fireworks.
Yeah.
Yes.
He explodes and we get the end, but in three languages, Spanish, Portuguese, and US, basically the three countries represented in the film,
and with the three colors of the
and yeah with their with their flag colors yeah with their flag colors first Spanish, then Portuguese, then you know English, and that's our film.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. This is weird.
Yeah.
It is weird, but I liked it.
No, I liked it too, but...
I liked it also.
I have a real... It's just, you know, my brain forgets, like, oh yeah, they did stuff like this too.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't all Bambi and Sleeping Beauty and stuff like that, like the high art.
Yeah.
You know, just like later on, you know, we're going to get to like Chicken Little, where it's like, yep, this is something they made.
Yeah.
You know, like no one cared about it at all. But this is actually a good film, but it's just not in the classic Disney animated, you know, golden age kind of feeling that you would think.
Yeah.
Because we are still in wartime.
Yeah, this is where they were kind of trying to pull some...
They were just trying to get some money.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to get some money. And they got a lot out of that trip to South America. And they used it to do a lot of different projects. And this was one of them.
Yeah.
But the response to this one, Melissa, you were saying, was a little more mixed.
Yeah, it was kind of like how it was mixed with Fantasia. People didn't, you know, see it as a cohesive film. They thought it was more art than an actual, you know, film. You can argue the terminology, film being art and whatnot. But yeah, people thought it was more, you know, esoteric than...
Oh, did they?
Yes. Mm,
all right, I'm okay with that then.
But now I think it's pretty good. I mean, back then it was nominated for Best Musical Score and Best Sound Recording. It didn't win. It lost to Anchors Away for Best Musical Score and The Bells in St. Mary's for Best Sound Recording. But... still was nominated, so it was kind of recognized.
It was nominated for musical score and best sound recording.
Which I think is one of the best parts of this film, is the music.
It is. I'm just saying that isn't, you know...
Yeah, you're not nominated for best film, but...
Yeah, which they didn't do that then anyway.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I enjoy this film overall, but I guess let's just go into our questions as we always get into our questions. So the number one question is... Does this film hold up? Let's start with Scott, which I think I know your answer, but I want to hear your reasoning anyway.
Yes, I do think it holds up. And one of the main reasons I think it does is because this is the first film, I think, that they've done where it hasn't been based on something else.
Okay, not like based on a fairy tale.
It's not based on a book. It's not based on, you know what I mean? They created these characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could say they did that a fair amount in Fantasia also.
Right.
But
this is also a Fantasia-esque film.
Yeah.
In certain parts.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if there's a history of the Gauchito story.
Right.
You know, and stuff like that. I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, obviously they used a lot of things that were culture-based.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, the actual characters that are in it, besides Donald Duck, you know, they were brand new characters. You know,
yeah,
they were never in any other kind of media.
Well, Jose was in Saludos.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is also the first feature film that featured one of the Fab Four, right?
True.
Besides Fantasia and Sorcerer Mickey, yeah.
Oh, yeah, besides Sorcerer Mickey, but he was Sorcerer Mickey.
Yeah, he didn't speak.
He spoke to
But he was kind of like Mickey playing a character, but this was like Donald Duck being Donald Duck.
Yeah,
he's 100% Donald Duck.
But I think that kind of feeds into it being still relatable.
Yeah.
Do you think you could show this to your son and he would stay interested?
Yes, I think he would.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably because of the short segments, right?
The short segments, yeah.
Would help. Yeah.
I think maybe more towards the end where the live action comes in and he's maybe really not into the singing as much.
Okay.
And he won't get some of the slapstick, you know what I mean? The joking part of it. Maybe he'd lose some interest. But I think in the beginning, most definitely he'd be interested.
Okay. Melissa, towards you, does this film hold up?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely love watching it. I remember that I loved it when I was little. I liked watching it now. I look forward to when we go to Mexico and Epcot, and I like going on the ride. You know, I like these characters, that they are fun. I do think, you know, the characterizations are interesting, you know, especially, you know, Donald calling everybody hot toots and everything like that.
Yeah, toots.
Hot stuff and toots.
He says toots like 3 or 4 times.
A lot, yeah.
That's weird.
But, yeah, no, I think it holds up.
Brian?
Yeah, I do, too. I believe it holds up. It's just a fun movie. There's a lot of just great moments in it. I definitely think my son would enjoy it. It's got its moments of like classic cartoons. He was a fan of the old school Looney Tunes and stuff like that. Like we've watched it together. And he would enjoy those parts. And I think the singing parts, while maybe not so. Maybe their kids might find them a little more boring. I don't think so because of Donald and and Benito and Jose. Like their interactions during those scenes is just fantastic, and not much goes by, if any, without them really doing something in any of those scenes. Off the top of my head, that I can think of, but I really know I enjoyed it. I have. It gives me kind of like a new appreciation also for when I go when I can't wait to do the Mexico ride again, and now see. And see the parts,
the connection to the film.
Yeah,
I think it holds up. I think a large part of it is the art design that was used by Mary Blair that they used into this. She's already kind of she proves over time that her art style is kind of timeless, and has that workability. I think that the musical numbers are fun. I do think there's a couple of lully parts in here. You know, it kind of drags on in a couple of spots, which for a 71 minute film is a little weird, but. I think it's just fun.
Yeah.
There's not much, as you were saying, there's almost zero substance. It is a grand promotion to travel.
Yeah.
But it's an effective one.
Yeah.
I think it's an effective one. It has a lot of different, it's very bright. There's a lot of bright colors going on.
Yeah. Definitely.
Like it may not have like the mix and the texture as some of the more classic quote unquote films, but it's very bright. It's very attractive. It has a lot of great, you know, musical numbers, some good slapstick comedy, a couple of nice shorts in there. It's a good balance of everything. Is it a good film overall? Like, hey, I'm presenting this as an idea. It's good. It's okay. It doesn't, it probably doesn't work very well like that, but as a distraction, as something to put on and enjoy, it works great. Yeah. I think that works absolutely fantastic.
I do think it's interesting. In 2005, Don Rosa wrote two comic books based off of The Three Caballeros. Mm-hmm. They were called The Three Caballeros Ride Again and The Magnificent Seven, -4, Caballeros. So I do think that even like nowadays, and just recently in December, they updated the Mexico attraction with the actual animatronics of the Three Caballeros.
Yeah, that was nice.
So I do think it's great that it's still, like, that presence. You
I think
know?
Those characters are still viable. Yeah. Viable. Definitely. They work.
Yeah, they definitely still do. They work.
Okay, going on to our next question, we'll go in the opposite direction. Well, this is such a weird one on this one. Is this a morals film or a message film?
This,
emotional?
I guess.
Is it a morals film or an emotion film?
I guess I would go with emotional. Only from the part of travel to Mexico and Brazil and see other cultures. And that that's probably what the message is. Like, you know, embrace other cultures and things like that. There's definitely no emotional thing that I
there's
can
no
think
There's no moral.
Of. There's no moral, yes. No, okay. There's no moral. Other than Donald's lust.
Yeah.
Other than that, that's about it. But yeah, I would say message.
Yeah, I think the same. I think it's emotional in terms of having fun type of emotion, you know, uplifting kind of thing, and definitely a travel brochure.
Okay, Scott.
I feel like the first two had a moral. The two shorts before
Capture a Donkey.
The one with the penguin,
yeah.
Where they say, you know, oh, he tried and he failed and he tried and he failed. And then the group of people that were saying goodbye to him went down to two, you know, and then he finally figured it out and he did what he had to do, you know. And then at the end when he's looking at the
kind of regrets it, though, then at the end,
he's never satisfied with what he has.
Yeah. But if you notice the two penguins that were on the thing from Antarctica were the two penguins that were the only two that still believed in him.
They were
when
his
he
friends
went.
Still, yeah.
Yeah. So I say that one, and even the what was it? The flying
Gauchito.
Always bet on the flying donkey.
No, it's just like the same thing. Cause sort of when they start the race, you know, everybody's laughing at him and his donkey, and he's like, "I still believe in, you know, we can still do this." You know, so I think that's more of morals.
Okay,
but in overall scheme of the film, I think it's more emotion.
Yeah,
it's more.
What emotion is that? Just have fun.
Beware of Donald Duck. No, I'm just kidding. No, it was like Melissa said, and Brian said, it's like uplifting, just enjoy life.
Yeah.
Experience new things, you know, and you'll have fun with it.
Yeah, I think this is an emotion film. It's just to get a rise out of the crowd, get them excited, have fun, and, you know, some romance, some excitement, and that's really it. There's nothing else really beyond it. it's kind of hollow in that way, but it doesn't need to be. It's because it doesn't try to be.
Yeah, no. That's
if it tried to be and it failed, that would be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it doesn't try to be that, so it's fine.
Yep.
Yeah.
Iconic image, Melissa.
Oh, this is going to be so tough. There's so many. But really, just in that one song.
Pick.
I know. The thing, actually, that I think of the most, because I love this part of it the most, is when they're trying to put Panchito, like, to quiet him, and they're, I think it's Donald's on a ladder, like, pouring water down his throat, and he's still singing.
Oh, yeah, and
like,
then he squirts him in the mouth with the thing.
Yeah, like, yeah. But that whole thing of...
That's that particular shot when Donald's up on the thing, pouring the water into Panchito as he's singing that one really long note.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Scott.
Mine is, again, in the same song. It's when they say, Donald Duck comes up and he goes, you know, says who? And then they come into the screen and they say, we do. And they're both like screaming at him. And he's kind of like, you know, he's got a shock face on. Yeah, that I don't know why that always stuck in my head.
All right. Brian.
It's in the song.
It's got to be in, right. It's got to be in there.
Yeah, and it's just with the, you know, when they're the hats and they kind of have they do the thing with the three.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, there's really, it's all just one big.
One scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to pick like an exact image out of it.
For me, it's when they all have, Jose and Panchito actually have the guitars and Donald has like the bass guitar.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And they're all just lined up. Like one after the other with the guitars like in profile.
Not when he has the saxophone?
No. Although I like that. I like that gag also. Yeah. I think that was a lot of fun. So that would be mine. So what picture am I going to put up? Probably just one of those. Because it's going to be weird. I'll have to freeze frame it and then do some screen captures to get all those because it's such a weird thing to try to break down. So that's Three Caballeros. Maybe the oddest entry so far into, you know, this series of the Disney Movie Hour, because it doesn't fit as a film. It's definitely not just a short, though.
Yeah,
it just
weird.
Kind of exists in its own little, like, travelogue.
It's like a weird experimental thing. It's just, I don't know. It's
so
strange.
So strange. But, you know what? I think, Brian, do we have another review to read, actually, before we close out tonight?
Yeah, we do. We got a review from, MIG128, MIG128. Okay. Excellent show. The Disney Magic Hour is a very well-produced podcast. The hosts of the show are a pleasure to listen to. The flair they have for everything Disney is outstanding. The way they discuss the parks and everything Disney is top-notch. They really keep you engaged during the show. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. Thank you for taking the time out. That's always, as usual, that is so helpful to us, immensely helpful to us. And then sharing that link on your page, on your Facebook page, tweeting it out. Although I feel like Facebook reaches more people. But everything is helpful. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
It's all helpful. Next week, we are not going to be doing a movie hour. We are going to actually be doing the year in film. We are going to take a preview look at the major studio releases that Disney is going to be doing next year, going through the entire 2016. So we've got some Marvel films. We've got some animated films, a Pixar film. We've got some live action stuff. We've got a Star Wars film, and we are going to go over all of them. And we are supposed to have a guest with us next week, so hopefully everything works out timing-wise with that. But if not, we'll still be here doing it regardless. So that's going to be next week, and then we'll resume the movie hour when that happens next. So we'll look into, because I know that, again, this was Make Mine Music and stuff like that. So
well,
I know we,
really
we didn't want to go nuts
park
about
also.
Yeah,
we weren't going to really go into focus those. What's in the parks. Also.
So do you want to bring up a list really quick?
Yep,
I feel like
I
you're trying
it
to do that and I'm stalling for time.
Okay,
yep. So, you know, while you're doing that, I'm just going to say we are over at lastgenpodcast.com. You can find both of our shows over there, The Film Basement and Disney Magic Hour. We've actually had quite a few people come from this show over to The Film Basement, which is kind of cool. Again, warning, graphic, whatever, explicit language on that one. Mm-hmm. It is a show for adults and adults with a dark sense of humor. Yeah. that's it. You can find us on Twitter at DizMagicHourPod. And if you search on Facebook, we are Disney Magic Hour. If you can't find it, just find me or Brian or, you know, whomever. Search for us by name. I'm Peter Tedone, T-E-D-O-N-E. And if you just send me a message and whatnot, I'll shoot you over to the right page. I know sometimes Facebook can be a pain to find stuff. And as we said before, of course, going over to iTunes is highly helpful. Did I waste enough time?
Yes, you did.
Boom. What do we got?
Well, we have The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's got to be it then.
And then
yeah.
Cinderella. So those okay. are our next okay. two.
All right. But all right, we're excellent. Definitely going to do Ichabod yeah. and Mr. Toad.
I really want to do that one.
And I can't say, see, every time now I say Ichabod, I have to, because Christopher Walken was the Headless Horseman in that remake. So every time I hear it, I just hear Chris Walken saying it. All right, guys, you are listening to Forget by Pogo. You can find this video and more over at youtube.com/Pogo. His music over at soundcloud.com/Pogo Mix. And you can find his website is pogomix.net. I already said all the other stuff before, so say goodnight, Brian.
Goodnight, Brian.
Say goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Melissa.
Say goodnight, Scott.
Goodnight, Scott.
Goodnight, Pete. And say goodnight, Pogo. It's just